Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
All right, thank you for joining us again. We're going to try and finish the message on how to break the cycle in your lives, the cycles of defeat, hurt, pain, and all the things that go on in our lives. So let's pray, and then we will get into the message tonight, this morning. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your spirit speaking to our hearts, Lord God. And Father, there's so many of us that are going through so much, and we just need you to break the powers of the enemy in our lives. So, Lord, we open our hearts wide and ask that you would do in us what needs to be done so that we might be set free from the snares and the chains of the enemy. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Give us words to say. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. So we left off last time talking about the different ways in which the enemy tries to use our hurts and our pains or our offenses to bind us up. So this week we want to talk about how to break those cycles. So the first thing that we want to remember is that we have to exercise our will in order to get these things out of our lives. You know, a lot of people don't talk about the will of man, but every human being has a will. That's why a lot of people haven't accepted Christ yet. That's why a lot of us are still wondering. Even when it comes to believing God, we have our own personal will. And if you remember, Jesus himself said in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So our will has to line up with what God wants to do in our lives. And you might say, well, that seems like a given. Most people want to be free. Well, sometimes we're so tricked into the pain that we're suffering, we don't always recognize that we are trapped. We don't always see that we need to be free. And so we have to, first of all, agree and want to be free. Amen? There's a few scriptures I want to read, and let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And this is Moses, as Moses is closing out his ministry, and he's sharing with the children of Israel his last words, and he's going through the law, and he gets to this point, and he says this to them. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Notice how he says, choose it. What that means that you can what? Choose death. And so we have to be aware that God wants us to choose the right way. We have to choose to want to be healthy. We have to choose to want to be transformed. We have to choose to want to be saved. We have to get to the place like the prodigal son who was feeding the hogs and in the mud and about to eat the hogs' food. The Bible said he came to himself. And he realized, I don't need to be down here with the hogs. I can just go back and work for my dad and live better than this. So he came to himself. He chose to get up and go back home because there was a better situation for him. We have to choose to do what God wants us to do. We have to choose to want to be free. Jesus said, and this is not one of my passages, but as I'm going there, I'm going to say this. Jesus said to the man that was in the pool of Bethesda who was waiting for someone to come and put him into the water, when the water was stirred, he asked him, Do you want to be made well? Now, here's a man that had been sick for 38 years, and Jesus asked him what seemed to be an obvious question, but that's what he's asking us today. Do we want to be free? Do we want to be healed? Do we want to be out of this cycle that we're constantly in, where we're up one week and down the next, where we're doing one thing and the next week we're back into the same situation? Do you want to be made free? And we have to answer that question with a positive yes, because that's the only way God can help us, is if we exercise our will. I want to read this story about Naaman. Naaman was a Gentile. He was a Syrian king, commander of the Syrian army, and he had leprosy. And I'm not going to read the whole story, but I'm going to go to verse 9 and says, Naaman went with horses and chariot and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away, said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. So first of all, Naaman wanted it a certain way. So when he didn't get his way, guess what? He had an attitude. He didn't want to do it the way the prophet Elisha had told him. But he did come to his senses, and somebody asked him, if he had told you to do something hard, would you have done it? And he said, yes, he would have. He says, all he tells you to do is wash 7 times and you'll be healed. So finally he exercised his will and he was healed. So notice, it is so important for us to get free, to receive from God, to believe that what he says is going to happen and agree with his will in our lives. The Bible says in Jesus' famous prayer, not my will, but yours be done. And so we have to live our lives like that. And the second thing we need to do is confess our injury and acknowledge that we've been hurt and that we need God to help us and to set us free from this hurt. Now, that again seems like it's such an obvious thing, but how many know that as soon as you say that, the battle is on? The enemy's going to bring everything up to try and keep you in that position of bondage. He's going to say, well, so-and-so didn't do this, and so-and-so didn't do that. You can't be free because this is happening. You can't let go because this is happening. He'll throw all that stuff, but you have to confess, Lord, I need your help, and I need you to get me out of this situation. So I want to go to a couple passages of Scripture. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17 says this. Says, and let's start at 16. When the evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Some versions say he bore our weaknesses. And when you are stuck in a bondage situation, you are in a position of weakness. Jesus came to get us out of those positions. He came to give us power. He came to give us freedom. He came to set us free from the snares of the enemy. And then I want to go to Acts 19, 18. This is a scripture that's kind of hidden in a story where one of people had gone to a city and they had preached the gospel. People responded to the gospel. And this is what it says in this passage. After they had responded to the gospel, it says this, and many who had believed, notice it says they had believed, came confessing and telling their deeds. So we have to understand, if we want to be free, we have to come clean with what is in our hearts, the bondages. We have to understand, we have to ask God to reveal to us. Sometimes if we don't know what the problem is, we have to ask God to reveal to us what it is that we're struggling, what it is that's keeping us, causing us to stumble over and over and over again. But we have to confess that we're hurt and that we need Jesus to heal us of this hurt. Amen? Then we have to look to the most difficult part of this process. And this is something that I was trying to remind us of all over throughout this message. And that is, we have to learn to forgive the person who has offended us. And this is something that never goes away. People are dealing with forgiveness always. You got people that have to forgive you because of what you did. We have to forgive people for what I've did. We have to forgive people for who tried to mess with our lives because of our color. We have to forgive people for trying to sabotage our businesses, our jobs, all these things that happen. And look, everybody has a story. I have stories about how I worked for one place and I got hired under one regime, and the person that hired me left, and then the new guy came in and he told me, because when I got this job, I was still practicing law, so I was practicing in addition to doing this other job. And when this guy came to be the new boss, said, "Well, we need you to be here more often." And I told him, "Well, when I was hired, they told me that I didn't need to be here. I just needed to do the classes." He said, "Well, that deal is off." So he just unilaterally changed the contract that I came in on. Unilaterally means he decided today that that contract was no longer in effect. So right away, this was a persecution situation. But instead of getting mad and calling him names and beating him up, because he's an old person, I could have knocked him down. But what good would that have done other than getting me fired? So I had to just say, "Lord, I put this thing in your hands, because I don't really worry about stuff like that. God is always the one that's going to take care of us, but we have to be willing to forgive people even though they seek to do us harm or have harmed us." And this is the most difficult thing for people, because people always use this excuse. And it's not like it's a small excuse, but "I really don't feel like forgiving them." I mean, have you heard people say that? And feeling and forgiveness don't go together. I don't know of anybody who feels like forgiving somebody. When you're hurt, you don't feel like doing anything but lashing out. It takes God to keep you from lashing out, and it's also going to take God to get us to want to forgive people. Forgiveness is the greatest gift that the church has ever been given, but many times we don't always use it to its full extent. We don't understand the power that forgiveness has. But if we think about it just for a minute, just think about how Jesus forgave us our sin, then we would be less likely to not forgive somebody else who has sinned against us. "Well, Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they abused me and mistreated me." No, I don't know, but God does. But I do know this. I do know how they abused Jesus. I do know how they mistreated Jesus. I do know Jesus was the only perfect human being to walk the face of the earth, and he was falsely accused, killed, beaten, spat upon, everything you could name. Most of us have not experienced that kind of persecution. But on the cross that they nailed him to, he said, "Father, what? Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." People don't always know the extent sin will take them. They get caught up into doing the things that they shouldn't do. But we all know the Lord's Prayer: "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy your will be done." I'm reading half King James, half regular. "On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts," it says here in this version, Matthew's version, "as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And then Jesus comments on this prayer and says in verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now that is a hard lesson to understand. But it puts us in the place where as we want others to do to us, we have to do unto others, what we commonly refer to as the golden rule. If we want people to forgive us, we have to forgive others. Forgiveness is not an easy step. It's the most difficult step in the process. It takes time to forgive people, but it takes commitment. It takes, going back to the first point, it takes your will. You have to exercise your will to forgive people. Look, when you're hurt, the first thing you want to do is get back at somebody. I've told many stories where people did something to me and they tried to betray me and they did things against me. And the first thing I thought about is, who could I call that still is not saved enough to go beat some people up? That's the first thing I thought. And then I said, well, maybe I could just do it myself. Then I said, no, that wouldn't look right. But then God would say, he would say to me, Harold, what you're thinking ain't right. And then God had to get in there. And the fact that I let him in there allows him to begin to work on my heart and start to change my perspective towards that person. And so God has to massage our hearts in order for us to learn how to forgive, because we do not want to forgive. We do not want people that have hurt us to get the benefit of the grace of God. Some of us have even gone as far to say, I want them to go to hell. And I might want a lot of bad things to happen to people, but I don't want to see anybody in hell. Because there is no, as one old preacher said, there's no exits in hell. There's no air condition in hell. There is no second chances in hell. You can get all the second chances, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the infinite chances on earth. But once the book has been closed, hell, there is no exit. So I don't want to see anybody go to hell. And if we feel that way, we really, really need God to change our hearts. Because yes, I know what they did may have hurt, and you may think it's going to hurt you for the rest of your life, but that's what I'm here to tell you. It doesn't have to. When you let it go, God begins to heal you. And what he does, the Bible talks about, we know this passage, we quote it all the time, and all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And what God will do is the very thing that has hurt and bent you down and bent you over and got you bound up and broke in this cycle of defeat, the very thing that had you that way, when you allow God to take it out, he will allow you to minister to somebody in the same predicament so that you can bring victory to them. That's how he turns everything around for your good and for you to be used for his good and for his glory. But see, we can't see that if all we see is the pain and the hurt and the harm. We have to forgive. That is the greatest step in the process. It's the most difficult. It's the most time-consuming. Forgiveness doesn't happen overnight. We could say the words, I forgive you, but the enemy will constantly bring it back. He'll tell you, oh, I'm not sure you can trust that person. All you have to do when that happens, you say, God, I laid it down, and so I'm not going to pick it up again. So, Lord, I forgive that person. And you have to remind yourself to forgive that person constantly until the victory internally is won. And once that victory is won, the chains fall off. You're no longer trapped by that condition anymore. You're no longer bound by what happened to you those many years ago, maybe it's just a few days ago. You're no longer captivated by it. Amen? So we have to be willing to forgive. The next step is we may need to be delivered from the effects of the injury that was caused to us. Well, what is deliverance? That means we have to break the bondages that the enemy has over us. James says in James 5, 13 and 6 through 16, says this, is anyone among you suffering? Notice he says suffering. Now, we always know the sick one, but I just saw this, you know, it's amazing how you read the Bible so many years and then all of a sudden this one thing jumps up at you. I never really saw this say, if any of you is suffering. It says, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. If anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Excuse me. And the prayer of faith, which will save the sick and will raise him up, and he, if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses, there it is again, to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or person avails much. So he says you might need somebody to come and pray for you. But if you have the faith to believe that you can cast these cares down at the feet of the Lord, the Bible says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. If you have the ability to do that, then do it. But if you need help, that's what the church is for. We don't have to fight this fight by ourselves. We have the body of Christ to help us along. And sometimes the enemy gets into our thinking, our mindset, he cripples the way we believe, and therefore sometimes the power of the enemy has to be broken. But we all have the ability to resist the enemy, but sometimes because of hurt, we've lost our ability to resist. We've lost our ability to withstand against the evil one because he's deceived us. He's crippled us. We're wounded. And so when we're wounded, we may have to get some help from somebody else. Amen? And then next, we have to stand. And this is the important thing. So you've forgiven. First, you've exercised your will. You've confessed your injury and need acknowledgement that God needs to help you. You've forgiven the people. Now you learn to stand in the newness that God has given you, in the new life that he's given you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's some translation says, the old is gone, the new has come. And we have to act as if the old is gone and the new is come. Amen? And then Galatians 2:20 says this, and then Romans 6. So let's go to Galatians real quickly. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer who I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we have to learn to understand that it's not our life that we're living anymore. It's his life. And Jesus is not bound by anything. Jesus said when the devil was about to crucify him, the devil has come and he has nothing in me. He's free from the entanglements of the enemy. And once we understand who he has given us, whose we are, and that we have been given to the Father, and we're no longer the person that we were before we got saved, then we understand that Satan doesn't have a hold on us. I'm going to read a few passages in Romans chapter 6, and it says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And then it goes on to say, the last thing, but God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So we are no longer, once we accept and go through this process, we're no longer bound, but we're free. We break the cycle, if you will, of the enemy. We have to stand in that identity. We have to not allow the enemy to tell us things that happened in the past. And finally, we have to use the Word of God to make our freedom effective or active. Amen? The Bible says that in Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy comes in like a flood, what happens? The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So whenever you're free and the enemy tries to remind you of what happened, you lift up the standard. Well, everybody says, well, what is that standard? Well, what is a standard, first of all? Standard is usually a flag or a banner. But it's in this case, it's the Word of God. Every time the enemy says something about, you're not free, you're not this. I remember when I first got saved, and right after I had said the sinner's prayer, about a half hour later, the devil started telling me, well, you don't think that just because you said that little prayer that you're going to go to heaven, do you? And, you know, and not knowing that that was the devil, I just agreed with it. I said, yeah, man, you know, I got to do something else. I got to, you know. But he was trying to trick me. But then after a few, I became more versed in the Word of God. I said, well, wait a minute. I don't remember the devil ever coming up to me and saying I wasn't saved when I wasn't saved. Do you ever the devil come up to you when you're not saved and say, you're not saved? You know you're not saved. So he didn't have to. But as soon as I was saved, he tried to tell me I wasn't. That's the way he does. And when you're free, he's going to try to tell you you're not free. So know that you have to raise the standard of his word and put it unto his face so that you can remind him that you have power over him and that you're not going to allow him to trick you anymore. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. That means we tear down the things that the enemy has tried to put up in our lives. And a stronghold, I was watching this documentary on the Civil War and how this one general besieged this city, and he created a stronghold that they couldn't get in and they couldn't get out. Nobody could get in, and he just basically starved them until they surrendered. That's a stronghold. But the Bible says, but the Word of God demolishes strongholds. So he tears down everything that the enemy tries to use to keep you captive. He breaks up and tears down and removes so that enemy's strongholds have been broken. So now we have to, and then it goes on to say, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we have to continue to battle the enemy because he's going to try and get us to fall into place again so that we can get back into the cycle that we've been delivered from. But we can't allow him to do that. We have to use the word to stand on it, to make our deliverance not a past thing, but a present thing, an active thing, a thing that's constantly being exercised to keep him from exercising his authority over us. And this is how you get free from the cycle. So let's pray, and we just believe that God is going to take his word and use it to free those. And you can use this when it comes to physical ailments or anything that the enemy tries to use to captivate you in. Yeah. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, that you set us free. And we no longer have to be bound by cycles of defeat, cycles that the enemy tries to use to ensnare and trap us. So, Lord, I pray that you would take this word and help us to first exercise our will, that we would align our will with your will so that we could be set free. And then help us to confess our desire and our need and our desperate need for you to be help us to be set free. Help us to forgive those who have offended us. And help us, Lord God, from there to stand in the identity that you've given us through your word and to use your word to effectively and actively keep our freedom and also to, if we need to, go to someone that can help us be set free. So, Lord, I pray that I break the power of the enemy in the lives of everyone that hears this message. I break the power of the devil. We command him to take his hands off of the people. We pray, Lord God, that you would pour out your spirit and just have your way. Draw men, women, and children into your kingdom. Those that have been hurt for years, let them be set free because of the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for victory. We thank you, Lord, that we're no longer slaves, but we're free because we have been set free from the law of sin and death. So thank you. We give you honor. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.